Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you today. We are so glad that you're with us here on this first Sunday after Epiphany. And we're glad that you're in worship with us today and we can gather together in the name of the Lord. And just one quick thing I should have probably said during the announcement. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody in the congregation that sent us cards and condolences and everything with the loss of Jody's mom, and also for everybody that sent us Christmas cards too. So we appreciate that so much. But we're glad that you're here today, and we want to welcome those that may be listening online later on this week. Today I'm starting a new series, and this will probably take us almost right up to Lent. Dealing with challenging times in our lives, relational challenges, and we're going to be looking at this through the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and I hope it'll be something that will speak to your heart there and how we face those kind of things. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together for our call to worship. Come with me on a journey in faith.
We bring our hopes and visions to new possibilities.
We are called into a future yet unnamed.
We hear the call of Jesus and measure forward.
As we travel in the spirit of faith and expectation, may we be witnesses to God's new tomorrow.
Knowing that we never travel alone.
Well, let's join together there. If you want to use the hymn book, you can turn to hymn number 36, or you can follow along there on the PowerPoint as we sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, all four verses, I believe.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to Thee.
Join together there for our opening prayer in the hymn or in the bulletin this morning. Holy One, we praise you for the blessings you give us in our baptism into Christ and for your love that surrounds us daily. Bless us in our time of worship. Open our lives to new possibilities as we venture forward in 2025. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to sing our next hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 519. Thank you for singing out this morning. There may be times when you won't hear me singing. I was kind of all sick and plugged up and coughing and everything this week. So singing is not easy today. So said something earlier, I said, I think four verses, because sometimes Carla records the songs the way she wants to record them. Usually she lets me know, but we're going to invite our kids to come down if they would make their way this morning. Yeah, come on. How's everybody doing? Good. Yes. Did you enjoy the snow?
Yes.
Did you get to go outside and go sledding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going today? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. It wasn't fun when you went? Did you wipe out? Oh, you didn't have any snow? Oh, well. Did you wipe out? Yeah, we used to go down this big hill at the Moose Club in Sydney, and you always had to, sometimes if you were going real fast, you had to dive off just before the end because there was a creek down there. And nobody wanted to go into the creek at the end there. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you glad that you have mom or dad or grandma or grandma that helps take care of you? Are you glad for that?
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that nice? You don't care? So how are you going to eat? What's your favorite food? What? Well, what's your favorite food? Mashed potatoes. So how do you get mashed potatoes if mom or dad or somebody doesn't do it for you? Oh, you're going to cook it by yourself. Grandma, you better remember that. So next time you go to grandma, she doesn't have to cook anything because you'll take care of it, right? It's great that we have, well, come on. Yes, come on. It's great that we have somebody to take care of us in. It is. That's all right. He's fine. He'll be fine. I don't think he likes to be squeezed. Is that it? There you go. There you go. Now you can sit there. I like your boots. You got those for Christmas? Those would be great to go out in snow as long as you don't slip on the ice. Yeah. Yeah, but it's great to have somebody to take care of us. And you know what? Sometimes God asks us to help take care of others. And so, now, do you ever, when mom or dad are sick or something, do you ever try to help out? What kind of things do you do to try to help out? Yeah, dad, yeah.
We help them.
Okay, yeah, things around the house or whatever. Pick up, yeah, go get a glass of water for them or something. Yeah, just little things that we can do to help. And that's part of caring for others. And Jesus calls us to help care for others because he says our Heavenly Father, God, cares for us and watches over us. And do you know how God watches over us? Through our moms and dads, and our grandma and grandpas, and our friends, and our aunts and uncles. Yes.
Aunts and uncles.
I know you do. In fact, I know one of your aunts. Yes. Yes. So they help sometimes too, don't they? To take care of us. Yes. And that's a nice thing. But you know what? Then we learn to help take care of others. And it's important that we do that because we are then acting like God when we do that, when we help take care of others. All right? Okay. You guys can head on downstairs if you'd like to. Yes, you get your little lesson and you get to do some coloring and other things that you get to do down there. I don't know. She might even have some cool project for you to work on. Miss Rhea this morning, and others. I love it. I love those kids. They help make me feel young. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. We're going to let you have a chance to do that. And hold on a minute. What did I do with my... Oh, here it is. I was writing some things down earlier. Joy or concern? Somebody this morning. Yeah. Unspoken this morning. And we know God knows what those are. Somebody else. Yep.
A friend of mine, Joe Fraser, not exactly sure what's going on, but I can just tell from some of his posts on Facebook, he's really struggling with something right now. I'm not sure where it is.
Okay. Did you say Joe?
Joe.
That's what I thought you said. Okay. So we want to pray for Joe this morning, who's struggling. I thought I saw another hand or so. Yep.
Unspoken.
Okay. And another one back there. Yep.
Ian Coyle.
Okay. Continue praying for Ian. And I know there's several over here. Yep.
My brother has a new grandson. He was born like 5 weeks early. He's just about 4 pounds. He's still in the NICU. Just prayers that he keeps gaining weight and gets his numbers where they need to be so he can go home.
Can you share the little one's name?
Henry?
Yeah. You know, that's one thing I've noticed in the last 5 or 6 years. These young couples are going back to old names that when I was young, that I knew people that had them. So, and Henry's one of those, yes. Yeah. Unspoken, okay. Somebody else? Yep. Okay.
And also, our friend Emily had double knee surgery.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know Emily, and that's, you know what, that's the second person that I've heard that was brave enough to do double knee surgery at the same time. Wow. Yeah. I don't know how they do that, but yes, yeah.
People in wildfires.
Yes, thank you. Yes, lots of loss completely of homes and property and everything, and the UCC, our denomination, has a thing. You can go to the website if you'd like to give, and I'll have to talk to council if we're going to do something. But you can give, and they had it on there that 100% of whatever you donate goes to that and to help there. And they try to get, they've already, there was something about food, clothing, water, and some other things that they've already set out there. And I think they're using some of the local churches that were not impacted by the fire to get those things out to people. But I just wanted to let you know about that. And I'll let you know more if we're going to do something special for that. Because that's pretty, pretty devastating, big time. So, yes. Yes. Oh, that's good.
And then my neighbor Rosie, that had that gallbladder in October 11th, she has gotten good enough that they sent her the hypomammal.
Oh, that's good.
That's
a praise. So we definitely want to continue praying for her for recovery. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. Someone else, yeah.
Two of my classmates, Mark Mitchell had his knee done this week. I haven't heard, I guess he's doing all right. And Dick Sally's got COVID.
Ah.
And we celebrated Roger's 97th birthday on the 10th. And he had fried chicken and upside down pineapple.
There you go. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So, anybody else? Yes. Yes, yes, we will keep Jim in our prayers as he's going in for treatment, and also keep Jill and Jody's sister in your prayers as she's going in for treatment this year. And if anybody knows Priscilla's son, is that who that was?
Julian.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's not the one I was wanting. But thank you for sharing that, though. Tim, let them know, because Jill faced the same thing because they added something new into her treatment this year versus last time when she went through it, and the insurance denied it at first. And but eventually, a week or 10 days later, it was approved. So, And so I wanted to let you know about that. So, yes, there's lots of different ones there that we need to pray. Pray for Jody. She's got pink eye, started in one eye and then moved over to the next. We think it came from her first day back at the preschool because then on Thursday and Friday, she didn't go to school and she had to get antibiotics in her eye drops. And I'm thinking that's the other ones that I wanted to share. Anybody else real quick then? And yeah.
I think Richard got home.
Yeah, somebody said that they were, Richard was coming home to do therapy at home. So we definitely need to keep him in our prayers. He's on our monthly list and for recovery and there. So appreciate your prayers for him. Anyone else then? Wow, that's a lot of names, and there was 5 unspoken. If some of those names pop back into your head, I just encourage you to lift those up in prayer while he has something that plays for us there, and then you can quietly pray at your seats, and then I'll come and close us out. As we pause this morning, we want to thank you that you are the great I am, that no matter what we're facing in life, whatever comes our way, whatever needs may come across our paths, that you are greater than whatever we're facing in life. Jesus, you taught us to bring our needs to our Heavenly Father. And to not worry and be anxious, but to trust. So, Lord, we trust in you today for the needs in our lives and the needs of those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we especially lift up the various ones, Lord, with Joe today. Whatever the struggle is, whatever's happening there, God, we ask that you would meet that need and be there for him and become real in his life, Lord. For Ian, God, Lord, we're continued your touch and your grace and your recovery, God, there. For Henry, Lord, little Henry and NICU, God, just may he continue to get stronger and grow and be able to take sustenance everything that needs to happen there, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Emily, Lord, with the double knee surgery. Thank you for bringing her through that. We ask for strength and healing and recovery, Lord, today. We lift up Jackie to you, whatever is going on with those tests there, Lord. We just ask for your touch upon her and that you'd be with her and give her your strength. We pray for Jillian today, God, and Lord, your touch there. We lift up Tim, Lord, with cancer and this issue regarding the insurance and denial, God. We just ask for your grace and favor and mercy in that situation and that he would be able to get that treatment like he has been. We lift up Brooklyn, asking for your continued recovery and strength and healing for her, for Rosie also, for continued strength and recovery, for Mark, Lord, who came through knee replacement, for strength and recovery there, for Dick, Lord, who's battling COVID, Lord, we ask for your touch upon him, for Jim, Lord, who's going through treatments, and Jill, Lord, both of them going through treatments, God, that you will be with them and bring healing to their bodies, eradicating the cancer, and bringing them strength through that, and as they go through that. Lord, we lift up Richard, Lord, as continued healing and recovery and therapy, God, there. What's going on? We pray for Jody today, God, asking for your healing touch in her eyes, Lord, today. Well, we lift up the situations with the wildfires that's going on out in California. God, so many that have just lost everything. In some places, entire towns were just burned out, God. We ask for your grace and your comfort in the midst of all of that. Thank you for organizations and churches and ministries and so many that are on the ground there trying to bring relief. We think about all of our first responders that are out there, some coming from other states to help, Lord, to be able to get that under control and get that out. And God, we just ask for your protection and favor with all of them, Lord, through that. Lord, we lift up the unspoken needs today, those five. And maybe there's somebody else or others that have come in today that maybe there's something going on that they're facing that they could not share. We ask that you would meet these needs, Lord, and that you would grant your grace and your peace and your presence and your protection and your provision, Lord, in each of those situations. And we're grateful and thankful for that today. Thank you for your peace that's here with us today in this place because of your presence. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of the service as we break the bread of your word. May you just encourage us and instruct us and give us hope in the midst of the difficulties that we sometimes face in life. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer today. I do believe it makes a big difference in people's lives. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. Once again, thank you for your faithfulness. And it's how our church continues to reach out and be a blessing in our community and world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Loving God, use our offering that others may experience your love and grace. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, we are going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah. In the Old Testament. How many of you have ever heard of the book of Nehemiah? A couple of you, at least, anyways. We're going to be going through a series on this, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nehemiah and what's going on, and then we'll get into the heart of the message. But Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 4. These are the words of Nehemiah. Hanukkah, son, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, hold on a minute here, the 20th year, while I was in the fortress city of Shusha, technically, Hanani, one of my brothers, came with some other men from Judah. I asked them about the Judeans who had escaped and survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They told me those in the province who survived the captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall around Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this news, I sat down and wept. I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would bless the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Oh, let's see. Where are we? I'm looking for... Oh, here it is. After the baptism of his baby brother in church, Jason just sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father finally asked him, "What is wrong?" Finally, the little Jason in the back said, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." I love kids. That's great. So we're going to start this series called Relational Challenges. Relational Challenges. And this morning, I want to begin, and we will run into this as we go through the book of Nehemiah. But I want to begin by talking about the challenge of caring for others. So let's talk a little bit about what Nehemiah, who he was, and what was going on here. So the story of Nehemiah is a story where he faced an almost insurmountable challenge that was before him. Have you ever experienced some insurmountable challenges in life that you wondered if you were going to get through them or not? So here he is serving in the king's court in Persia. We are told that he is a cupbearer. And his brother comes along from Judah and relates to him the situation back home in Jerusalem and how bad it was. Now, listen, although it had been a century since Nehemiah's forebears had been dragged against their will, living as displaced people in Babylon, speaking of the Babylonian invasion of Judah and Jerusalem in 587 or 586, eventually the Persians conquered the Babylonians. And the Persians begin to allow some of the Judahites or the Judeans that were taken to Babylon to be able to go back home. Some stayed and worked in Persia in various capacities, and Nehemiah was one of those. But when he found out about all of this and how that many had begun to return home and that they had begun to rebuild, but when his brother came along, he heard dire news. And he was deeply moved that the city walls surrounding Jerusalem were in a state of disrepair and ruin. Now, in the ancient world, a city without walls was utterly vulnerable to all kinds of devastation and disgrace that could happen. So the whole book of Nehemiah is about his call to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which was a colossal challenge that he faced. Number one, because he was all the way in Persia, many miles away. But it's not as if Nehemiah could do this on his own. He needed help. And in the weeks to come, we're going to look at this multi-dimensional relational challenge, this mammoth challenge that he's going to face in doing this. And what it's going to involve is a lot of people. And we're going to look closely at those challenges that he faced. And I expect that many of those challenges that he was facing are going to become quite familiar to us as we look at them. The first relational challenge we're going to consider this morning is caring for others. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever faced the challenge of caring for someone else? Jody and I have experienced a lot of that in the last few years, and it's almost been overwhelming at times. Let me just say this. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to face that challenge of caring for that little one, that baby, that toddler, that teenager, which we are facing right now. Or as you get older, there you may be promoted in a job where it's just not looking out for you, but you're looking out for a whole group of people. And part of that is caring for them. It may be that as your parents got older and you had to care for them in their older age, that's a part of that challenge. And then as we get older ourselves, we have that challenge even in our later years in life about our own health and our own strength and all of those things. What am I saying about all of that? I'm talking about caring for others in less than ideal times. Let me tell you something. Challenges do not come our way when it fits into our schedule. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, if you're like me, challenges in our lives often come when we're least prepared for them. And it's not easy. It's difficult in those times. Here, Nehemiah is in Shusha, the winter residence of the Persian kings, which, by the way, is the same as the Iranian city of Shush today. When he hears the sad news about his compatriots who are in great trouble and experiencing shame, and the question that Nehemiah faces, how am I going to help care for my nation that's in my city that's trying to rebuild when I'm that far away? That far away. Because it's never easy doing that. And so here's my questions. How did Nehemiah respond to this news? How did he begin caring for his people back home? And those are what we're going to just look at a little bit here. Caring for others begins with grieving with and praying for others. Grieving with and praying for others. Now, at first, if you've ever read through the book of Nehemiah, which I'm sure some of you may have, I don't know. We're going to see that Nehemiah is a leader and a fixer. But guess what? When the news first came, he didn't try to fix what was going on. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but Jody will sometimes tell me things, frustrations at work, this or that, and I go into my fix-it mode, my counselor mode. And I'm trying to fix things and tell her how to get it right. And she'll tell me over and over again, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. And let me vent. He didn't try to fix their problems as we might expect. Rather, when he heard the news, he sat down and he wept. It's interesting. It says that he sat down. To this day in Judaism, when people are mourning or grieving, they get low. They sit down low. And they'll weep and cry. Sometimes they'll wear certain outfits when they do that. If you're in the Bronx and you see the Orthodox, they have even more rituals that goes on and what they wear. And it says that he mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You know, when we are put in charge of caring for others, or we take up that task, it's not an easy task. It's a difficult task. And I don't know about you, but we had to pray for strength and we had to pray for help. And there was times when we had to ask for help. I can remember when my mom first had her major stroke and all of a sudden she wasn't able to walk anymore. And we had to wheelchair her everywhere. And my dad decided he was going to take care of her in his early 90s. Because we asked him why, and he said, well, she took care of me all those years. I'm going to take care of her. But it was hard. We saw how hard that was on him. And we were like encouraging, Dad, you got to get help. So they called hospice, and hospice came in and helped. Caring for others is not easy. And I know some of you here today, you've gone through that. And some of you that are sitting here, you may experience that in the future with your parents or your grandparents. Maybe you have, maybe you are. And it's okay at times to grieve in the midst of that because it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming physically, it's overwhelming emotionally. At work, when you're put in charge and the boss is barking down at you, and you're overseeing this group of people, that can be overwhelming at times. Or a few of our mothers that are here today with their little ones. It can be overwhelming at times. You're there, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom. And you're there and it's just day in and day out. The little ones, they take everything from you. That's not to say you don't love them. That you would die for them, but it's just draining at times. And we need God's help in the midst of that. And as we're going to look at closer next week, how Nehemiah asked for God's mercy in the midst of it and help. And we're going to find out that that motivated him to act and do something. Because he was dealing with that relational challenge that comes with caring for others. And he was grieving over their suffering and what they were going through there. Grieving with and praying for others. And not only that, but showing genuine sympathy, or if you like, empathy when others are hurting. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once preached a sermon based on the parable of the Good Samaritan entitled On Being a Good Neighbor. And I want you to hear what he did in that sermon. He contrasted pity with genuine sympathy or empathy. He said that pity is little more than impersonal concern, which prompts us to send a check. But true sympathy or empathy is personal concern that demands the giving of one's soul at times. Sympathy or empathy grows out of concern for a certain person. It's feeling with the person in need, their pain, their agony, their burden. What Dr. King emphasized is what Nehemiah practiced, as we will see as we continue in this series. He felt for his people. That's why he sat down and began to weep and pray and fast. Because their needs and their pain and their burden was overbearing to him. It's interesting, though, that the name Nehemiah literally means God comforts or God shows compassion. It's interesting that God picks certain people at times to care for others, because he knows we can with his help and with the help of others. And Nehemiah's deep care for those, for them, led to everything that he did there. Caring for others in less than ideal times. Challenges associated with caring for others. If you ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to mention two, and these are just a few. First of all, there are emotional challenges. I already talked about that. It's never easy caring for others. It can be both emotionally and physically demanding and draining on us. And that's why it calls for genuine empathy. But guess what? With empathy and sympathy, it can be joyful, or it can be painful, or both at the same time. It reminds us that we don't care for others alone. We must have help. And Nehemiah is going to enlist that help, as we will see in the coming weeks. And there are strategic challenges. If you've ever cared for an elderly parent or grandparent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Caring for others raises many questions depending on who we are caring for, what we can do, what we can't do, and how we're going to do it. It's important to remember we can only do so much for others entrusted to our care. There are times when we have to let others help us. And since we can't do everything, we need to decide what our something will be. And guess what? That's the hardest part about caring for others. What am I going to do? In the case of Nehemiah, his something was a rather big deal, as we will see. Now, as we think about our life and faith, what relational challenges come to your mind as I talk this morning? Maybe you've been right there and know what I'm talking about. What makes them challenging? Who in your life can you talk to openly about it and vent and get feedback? How can you readily be able to talk to God and vent to God about it too? Because God understands and knows what we're facing. Next week, we're going to consider the challenges of talking with God and our relationship with God when we face those demands and challenges in life. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment this morning and share a little and greet one another, shake a few hands, and then we'll close out by singing that little chorus, His Name is Life, this morning. As we get ready to close out this morning, we are going to sing that little chorus, His Name's Life. If you want the hymn book, it's number 60. We're going to sing it through twice as we close out this morning.
His name is Master, Savior, Lion. Blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation. Lion of Judah, blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation, Lamb of God is He. Son of David, King of the ages, eternal life, Holy Lord of glory, His name is love.
Well, let's join together for our benediction in the bulletin today. Go forth trusting in the Lord.
May God help us as we journey into the new year.
May the grace and love of Christ be stronger than the storm and challenges within us and around us. Amen.